All right, we got these 13 tribes to do something with. We're going to use 11 of them. So we've got to do something with the other two, or whatever. All right, which 10 are going to go to Israel in the north? Reuben?
Yep.
Damien?
Yeah.
All right, so here we got Judah. All right, on the map. I got to quit getting too much time here. Simeon was down in here, absorbed into Judah back before this time. So Simeon's kind of disappeared now. But so Simeon really is going to be in here with Judah. Levi? Let's stick him in the middle for a minute, okay? All right. Judah, we know, is over here, right? Dan? Naphtali? Gad? Asher? Issachar? Zebulun? Ephraim? Manasseh? We got one left. Where's he go? Goes over here. Well, he goes over here. Kind of does. And that's based on Second Chronicles, or First Kings, where was it? 12, verse 23, 24, somewhere in there. Yeah, 23. Okay. When Rehoboam called together, he called together Judah and Benjamin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now what? That's the end of that discussion. Okay, that's all I know about it. Okay. If you read, you also find that the priest left the north and moved down to the south. That's where the temple was. Their practice would be down there. Was it symbolic? The 10 pieces going to Jeroboam and not a literal 10 pieces? I don't know. I've read several commentators. Most of them will put Benjamin here. There's not much doubt about Simeon being absorbed into Judah already and being gone as a separate tribe. So that's kind of where I've gotten to with this little project, Eric. I'm sorry. It's that. Okay. So if somebody could get some better answers, I'd be glad to listen to them sometime, okay? But I don't know how the 10 and 2, 10 and 1, how it all comes out. You got 13 tribes to account for. So maybe somebody's got something I've missed so far. But this is kind of where it comes out, or something like this. That doesn't cost anything extra, as they say. That's just what I've done looking at that things for a little bit of time, not a lot. Okay, but nevertheless, we do have a division now, and so we're in the middle of that with the study of this quarter here. I'll try to do some more digging in that sometime. That's where we are. Okay, well, lesson three today. Lesson three. All right, who's ruling? We know that much. Who's ruling in the north? Who's in the south? North is Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and in the south is Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Okay, son of Solomon. So that's the king, the ruling situation now. Okay, we start off today in 1 Kings chapter 14. I'm going to start getting some confusing names today. Are your paper there? If you know my general style, I'll take the paper and kind of work through it as we go through the lesson. So, on your paper, the first question there is this: who is Abijah? So, 1 Kings chapter 14. Who's Abijah? He's the son of Jeroboam. Okay, what happens to him? Check. Okay, say older, younger. Any indication of age here? He's a young son, okay? He's a young son of Jeroboam, okay? So he became sick. So Jeroboam gets his wife to do what? Go see the prophet, whose name is Ahijah. Okay, not Abijah now, Ahijah. So she goes to, you got Abijah and Ahijah, the prophet. Man, hope I don't misspell one of these slides up here, so it's kind of bad if I do. So Jeroboam's wife goes to see Ahijah, the prophet. Ahijah the prophet, Abijah, her son, who is sick. Now, let's look at 1 Kings, and that's number 1, 2, and 3. Young son who's sick, the prophet, and he sent his wife to inquire about the fate of it. Now, before we jump in and start reading this piece here, what did he have her do when she went? Disguise herself, so nobody knows who you are when he goes in. Alright? Now, I don't know if it's in this reading here, or we're going to get it in a minute, but Ahijah, wouldn't know about him at this point. He's blind, he's an old man, and his eyes are glazed over. I mean, he's blind, he can't see. So, the Lord appears to him ahead of time and says, here's what's going to happen. She's coming. The news there, she was disguised. So he knows all about it before he gets there. Now look in 1 Kings chapter 14. And well, if you read verses 6, this is a little lengthy, I know, but it's got some points that are really, I think, important. Read 6 through 16 of chapter 14, please. Your kingdom forever, just like David's. If what? If you'll obey me, okay? Any reason to doubt that? None whatsoever. I mean, that's the promise he made to him, just like he made to David and Solomon and the others back there. Jeroboam had as much opportunity as anybody else to fight in favor with God. Even though he divided the kingdom, because of Solomon's sin, he still has that opportunity there, okay? So she's coming, she'll be another person that news. Go through that. Now, look down. Okay, verse 8, 7 and 8, 9. What's he telling? What's he telling your woman? 7, 8, and 9. What's that? Why? I'm going to do what? I'm going to take it away. Why? I just got through promising to you, I'd give it to you forever. Because he caused Israel to sin. What have you done? Look here. More evil than all those that come before you. All the idolatry, sure. Yep. But look how bad Jeroboam has gotten here already. And provoked me to anger. And don't look here. Where did he put God? Back there somewhere. Yes, sir. Yeah, and about David right here, okay? And we're going to get there. Move back there. I'm going to lay over here. I'm just going to sit in this right here, okay? David, look what he keeps saying about David. All the good stuff David did. Did David sing it?
Yes.
Yeah, big time. Big time. How did he have it? That's much of that stuff. I'm kind of centered on that. I made a difference there. But Jeroboam had this golden opportunity. I'll establish your kingdom, I'll be here forever. All you got to do is follow me, obey me, do my commandments, go back to that covenant made back at Sinai back there. And he didn't do it. He didn't even do this a little bit. He put it on behind his back. Okay? Now, verse 10. Because of this, what's God going to do? He didn't love it under there. Bring total disaster on his house. Okay? Come on, every male in Israel, take away every remnant of it as you take the garbage out. Totally gone. And what's going to happen to the descendants? Whoever dies in the city, the dogs that eat, those who die in the country, what is there? And then look at 13. What is said about the son that's going to die? He's the only one that won. Be buried in a grave. That's pretty strong. He is going to totally annihilate Jeroboam's household because of what he had done. Because of the sin he had done there. Now, not just that. Keep going. Look down to 15 now. Well, that's what he's going to do. Israel. How many kings has Israel had so far? This is the first one. This is the first one. And what's the prophecy already? Well, in captivity where? Beyond the river. The very beginning here. Back when we talked about last Sunday about the kingdoms divided, we talked about good kings and bad kings. How many good kings do we say Israel has? None. Start off bad, and it would almost like to say it gets worse. Yes. Okay. Now, one other point is made here. I'm going to take on just 1 minute. Let me try and tell us a specific verse that said this. But it said that he had... Yeah, it's verse 16. What did Jeroboam do? Two things. What did he do to himself first? He sinned. And he what? He called others to sin. Okay? Leadership. Yeah, hang on one second. All right. Leadership. Husbands in your house. Who's the driving force? When you sin, where's your family headed if you're not careful? Okay. Is there a big, big lesson here from Jeroboam? Jeroboam sinned. And because of his example, his leadership, his role, what did Israel do? Right behind him. Set these golden calves up. You don't need to go to Jerusalem. I'll take care of you. Look what we had. Got scared. I'm sorry.
Okay. Back in 1 Kings 11, verse 6, Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. God saw that. But when God chose Jeroboam, he recognized the man who read all of you that. God gave him that opportunity to lead, all right? Just as you know, but he led at the wrong direction. God just talented.
And when the rebellion against Rehoboam came, who was the leader? Remember that? Jeroboam was. Yeah, same point. Better read my notes again, hang on. Leadership responsibility. Sin and made Israel sin, and the home and the church. Big responsibility. I think we've covered this. Is the text up here. We'll talk about that. Okay, let's get you. I guess Greg, sorry.
Yeah, I just want to make one comment about the ramifications of his leadership. Not only is he moved out of power, but it became.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, there was not a good king period that followed him. And over and over, we're going to see a sin in the matter of who? Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Over and over and over here. He said things that way. All right, let's go get one. Number five. Summarize Rehoboam's reign. Alright? Talk about Rehoboam a little bit. How was it when he became king? Do I remember? 41. How long did he reign? 17 years, okay? And summarize his whole... get on the board here. Summarize his whole nutshell of his reign here. That one verse right there, can I put it down? Okay? He did evil. Now... Look at the why he did evil. It's in 12:4, maybe 14. It's not even 4:2. I know it's in 14. But it's 14 instead of 4. But there's a point there I want to look at too. 2 Chronicles 14. Verse 16 is where it says he dies here in a minute. But back up and look at verse 14. It should be 14 instead of 4. We'll start up there. By Jeroboam. He did evil. Why? Where did it start? Got to start here first, right? All right, you teacher, we're trying to help you out this morning. It's all kind of stuff. This is a whole lesson here. You're teaching next quarter. It's got to start inside. You got to want to be right first. And he did it. Prepare his heart. If you don't start bad, you're going to get in trouble to start with. Okay?
So you come down to it every time. Every decision.
Okay, one little footnote here. I don't have it up here on the thing anywhere. Is 2 Chronicles read about Shishak coming from Egypt, to attack Rehoboam, southern kingdom there. Some of the commentators said this may probably be Pharaoh Necho. They invaded that. And what he came after, according to this one commentator, was to get the ivory and the riches of the throne. Now, where did that throne and stuff, where did all that stuff come from? I mean, if it's there, it came not from Rehoboam's reign, but from Solomon's, all the riches he had there. Now, why would the king of Egypt be interested in what Solomon had done?
Well, no.
Okay? Any relationship between Solomon and Mary Pharaoh's daughter? So would he have known about what was up there? A son-in-law? All his riches he accumulated? He's gone now. What shape's the kingdom in? Split up, split apart, weak. Go up and get those treasures to bring them back out. It's like a little footnote there. It's like a Chronicles chapter 12 that talks about that. So, don't know if that's where it was or not, but from history, it's like maybe Pharaoh and Necho is the ones they talk about there. And the relationship would have been that marriage there. He would have known was up there from that. Okay, so Rehoboam dies and he is buried. Now, what I think about this more later on. All right, here's Jeroboam, here's Rehoboam. We haven't talked about him yet. It's going to time runs out here. How long for Rehoboam reign? 17 years. Right here somewhere, we're going to put the 17-year mark. We'll talk about this more if we go through this. All right. Number 6. Who is now king in his place? That's another key little point here. Who's king in Rehoboam's place? Abijah. Jam, J-A-M, or you'll all see it to the other places where it's called by Jah. And I did it on purpose, okay? Instead of using the other name in here, the other place I'll show you Charles later on, it's got a by Jam and J-A-M. But Abijah, what kind of complex that causes? This is Abijah, the son of Rehoboam, who I talked about earlier. Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, but the prophet is Ahijah. Help me out. It's going to get bad for the old man, for the score gets over. Okay. So there's war between who? Number 6. Judah and Israel, but the kings now are Rehoboam's gone. Abijah and Jeroboam. Right. It is. All right. He took his place. And he reigned 3 years. For 3 years. So, over here now, we're up to year 20 over here. In the southern kingdom down here. Now, number 7. So this is war here a minute. They go to war. The 18th year. Now, it's the 18th year when he took over here. He reigned 17 years, 18 years here. You're going to get some timing differences here a little bit. I'm going to let it. With the 18th year of Jeroboam, he's still going up here. 17 years he reigned here. All right. Here's the verse of Judah. 2 Chronicles 13. A little war. How many men each one have? Look at some numbers there. 400,000. Okay. 800,000. They're going to win. Jeroboam has, of course, got twice as many men out there for battle up here. Now, tell me about this. What about this war? Somebody glanced at it there. What about this war? Who got the upper hand? Who's about to ambush? Who's about to ambush who? Jeroboam suffered for a rear ambush. He's got Judah surrounded, more or less there. And then what happens? How'd he get out of it? Abijah finally got a little sense. Abijah said, okay, I'm outnumbered 2-1. I need somebody else on my side. Now, is that kind of a desperate plea, maybe? I don't know. That's where he was at that point. Did his father set any good example for him? No. The real boy, I'm sure, hadn't taught him how to call on God when he needed help. But he did, okay? And what did the Lord do? Look, Israel, and they fled. How many died? 500,000. I mean, what's the population of Huntsville? 250,000. Why is the population of the city of Huntsville died? Ms. Madeline said. We talk about 500,000 being died. Choice men of Israel died. 500,000 choice men of Israel died. Why is the population of Huntsville? Well, think about that a minute. And who's fighting against who? It's not us against the outside world. It's who? It's brothers against brothers here. Okay? You with me? Yeah. 500,000 choice men died that way. Now, number 8. Why did Judah prevail? 2 Chronicles 13, verse 18. They prevailed because they relied on the Lord. Okay. Relied on the Lord God of their fathers. Okay, so the first 3 kings, now he took some cities, by the way, from Jeroboam. These border cities are going to be swamping back and forth through this whole thing. Now, this is not the first time or the last time these two people are going to fight against each other. These cities. All right. Who are the first 3 kings in Judah then? Jeroboam, Abijam out there, just to keep it separate in your mind a little bit. And then he died, he only lived 3 years. And who takes place number three? Asa. Okay, Asa. Who's going on in Israel this time? You're going inside. You're going. Okay, so now we got Asa down here. Third king down here. All right, Asa's king next. Okay, number 10. Summarize his reign. Now jump into chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. And talk about Asa. Verse 2 is a good place to start. He's one of those good ones that are going to have fire in Judah. Look at verse 2. Do what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Look at this. Verse 3. Remove the altars and the foreign gods from the high places. Broke down the sacred pillars. Cut down the wooden images. Commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers to observe the Lord's commandments. Remove the high places and incense altars in the city of Judah. And the kingdom was quiet in him. The fortified cities, the land had rest. No war in those days. I have a short little commentary here on Asa's reign, but quite a contrast to the 20 years that had gone before him up here. Okay. Now, a little lesson there. Is it possible for us to be good when the influence on our lives outside has been bad? It is possible. Okay. Is it easy? No. Okay. But you think what Asa had been through from his father and his grandfather here. His father and his grandfather up here. Evil, evil, evil. But Asa somehow turned it around here. Made a big difference. Somebody's got the input to him somewhere. Sorry.
That.
Yes. The other place beside that one I referenced that does that. Yeah. Benjamin M. with Judah. 2 Chronicles 14:8. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 11. Jeroboam reigned how many years and died? 22 years. Okay. So now up here we've got to come up here 22 years and he's going to die. And who's going to take his place? Nadab, his son, takes his place. So in the north now we got Jeroboam, Nadab, and then he was killed by, how long did Nadab reign? I didn't ask that in here. 2 years, okay. Very short again. So up here you're 224. And then who kills him and takes his place? Baasha. Alright, so we got introduced now to three kings on each side. Okay. Rehoboam, Abijah, and Asa, Jeroboam, Nadab, and Baasha. Going on. You guys see what they chopped and what they put up here. We're looking at it this way. Alright. Number 12. What's the wicked thing that Baasha did? Left nobody in the house of Jeroboam alive. Have we heard something about that earlier this morning? Okay. He left none of the house of Jeroboam alive. Totally wiped them out. Okay. One little key verse I want to jump in here. Maybe talk about it. Look at 15, verse 2. You think about memory verses for your children. Azariah, the prophet, goes out and talks to Asa. And what does he tell him? If you seek God, what? If you seek God, you'll find him. All right. If you seek God, you'll find him. If you forsake him, he'll forsake you. Okay. Nice little verse to mark there. He's going to forsake us. Okay. We got 2 minutes left. Kind of run through that part there. Questions, thoughts, comments that I have left out. That's what we'll talk about. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Here? Jeroboam. Rehoboam down here. Okay, there. Listen, I can get my mind. I get up here. Thanks. Are the numbers right? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, yes, sir.
Go back to the example of lesson for us that put righteous not because they walk up to the face of the mountain several moons and they walk about it. One thing that's interesting is they need to care about them as well, but once they got what they wanted or whatever,
watch it.
Something happens, you know.
You're right. It does. That's right.
As well.
That's right.
There's something there.
And it's hard. It is a challenge to maintain that faith. It is a challenge. Greg, Johnson.
It's a question that Rehoboam recognized the need to prepare. Now, to make sure he got those fortified, got prepared, but he died not in the
holiday. Yeah, did Jeroboam do any preparation by worship? Jeroboam? What did he do? High places? Built two what? Go okay, he prepared, all right. He had the wrong motive when he was doing it. Good. Good comment.
In 40 years, Solomon. So of all the things that were wrong with Solomon's household, hold them accountable. Solomon. Hold them who prepared. Now, everyone who comes around, whatever our background, we falter. Hold them prepared. Now, that's just
good. Who's his mother? Ammonites. Okay. One of Solomon's foreign wives there. But he had the opportunity to know what's right, and he didn't take it, obviously. Okay, there's a lot of good people in here to make a lot of good comments. Go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to
hear about
the son.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. Good point. I bet you. He found it. He went to the grave. He said, I want to see the grave. Only heir of Jeroboam wants to see the grave. And that comment is made about him what? He saw something good in it. Jeroboam's son. Yeah. So don't let that one. That's all I said about it. One little phrase there. Yep. Point. Okay. You got your paper there. Think about this. Maybe I don't know if you want to write about it or not, but you got the kings. You got three on each side now. You got those in mind. What other significant people have we encountered so far? Joshua, the king of Egypt that came in. Okay. The prophet Ahijah is a very key one. He plays a lot in this story here. Yeah. Think about these names that you need to get on the side over here somewhere and get them in your mind. Let's start plowing through this whole thing here. The names are going to get very confusing, as I said. You'll see some of the charts we got later on here. When I got eight from one side to the other, all these people start marrying and crisscrossing and all this kind of stuff. So that's why when you make these numbers up here, I jump. Whoops, one's wrong. But there'll be something wrong. Judah said a Jeroboam. Okay, yeah. I'll probably crisscross something before it's over, is my point. Could kind of heavy there. Okay, we've got a couple minutes to spare. I know I talked fast. I must have got too fast this morning. I don't know. But anything else? Hey, Wednesday night. Everybody get a copy of a little of the syllabus type thing. Know what's up the next lessons. I don't have the scriptures there. It's got the names. Okay. Need one. Somewhere left here somewhere. Here they are. Here's you. Anything? Okay, get that. Stop it. There we go. Got out of my slides. Okay, here we go. 20th year reigned there, reigned 41 years. Grandmother's name was Micah, the granddaughter of Absalom. Oh, by the way, let me just point here. Asa's the granddaughter. Asa's mother is the granddaughter of Absalom, by the way. Wife for 10 years. He had a steady army here. I'm not saying that. He had an army of 580,000 men. These are not little bitty small, putting people in the village type thing here. An army of 580,000 men. That's a lot of men. Okay. Yeah. It was good. We talked about that. Through the high places. Jeroboam dies, 22 years. Evil, don't let his play, but that's a 2 year. Evil killed Bashan, that's another house. Right. All right, here's the king stuff so far. Jeroboam, 17 years, Evil. Judah. Abijah, 3 years, Evil. Asa, 41 years. He's good. Okay, the first good one here. Here's everybody's evil. Jeroboam, Nadab, and Baasha. He's going to reign 24 years. He's got a long one in here now. And up here. 24 years. No, a very, very long one here. 41 years is a long reign for this whole series here for 41 years. You know. Confusing. Abijah again. And then Isaac the prophet. We already talked about all that. That's it. Okay. Thanks.